want to have you turn your Bibles to Psalm 145, 145th Psalm of David. I want to read verse 4. You've got it on Psalm 145, verse 4. I want you to think about what it's saying. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I want to read it again. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I discovered this to be a wonderful motto, if you want to call it that, for Bryan Street Baptist Church. Never was in the Book of Psalms all the time. Let's let that generation be ours. Amen?
Yeah.
Our generation. You say, well, most of us here are over 50, you know. Our generation has a responsibility to do this. If I read my Bible correctly. You see, there's still a lot of work to do. Right here in Springfield, let alone the foreign missions. I think the foreign mission offering that we're going to take for Lottie Moon's memory this Christmas is one of the most important offerings of the year. And we've always been very generously able to meet our goals when we set them for that offering. But there's a lot of work to do. It is up to those who trust Jesus Christ for their own salvation to pass it on to others. Amen? There is going to be a time in human history that there will be a final generation. We may be the last generation. We don't know. I doubt it, because there are many things that need to come to pass before the Lord Jesus comes again, according to the scriptures. But the way things go today, that could be very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. As I use so often, the illustration, ride down the street, when did they put that building there? I mean, they, you know, buildings go up almost overnight, it seems, in this day and age. It's up to us. It's up to those who trust in Jesus Christ for their own salvation to pass the information of how to be saved on to others. There's going to be a time, as I said, when there's a final generation. Now, that's God's business. Ours is simply do as Jesus told us in the Great Commission, pass it on. Amen?
Amen.
Pass it on to others. There are others who need to know of his offer of salvation through his Son, who died for them. You say, well, it's preached on the radio all the time, and churches all the time. There are people who have not been told enough. I was 28 years old before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've been told before. Right? I wasn't ready. Aaron wasn't ready till God sent him to prison. He wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to let go and let God have Aaron. Did you hear what I said?
Right.
You know, there's a lot more to this than people think. And yet it's so simple. Trust Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I've got to do that. Trust Christ. That's the message we preach at Byer Street Baptist Church. Trust Jesus. Solomon, in one of his proverbs, states this truth. You've heard it before. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a statement. That's a statement. He will not depart from it. Now, the wisest man that ever lived did not say that if a child is trained up how to go correctly, he will never sin. Didn't say that. No. Let's be careful. What did he say? He didn't say he'd never tell a lie. He didn't say he'd never commit adultery. He didn't say none of that. But he does insist. And in your families, you have probably seen this. He does insist that as he matures and as he learns about life in this poor lost world, he will come back to what he was first taught and abide by it in later life. If he's taught. See the if. If he's taught. I said we're gonna cover a lot of territory this morning. And I do crave your patience. What could that possibly mean there? What could that possibly mean? It means this. That our generation must train the next one how to live according to God's word. Look around, folks. Look around. What is the generation of today teaching our next generation? How is the world today training up his children? You all have the answer, don't you? I don't have to preach it. It's easy to blame the politicians, you see. And it's easy to blame the drug dealers. And it's easy to blame the enmity between the nations. But what about the church? How about the church? Too many of today's churches have failed to train up the next generation in such things as, thus saith the Lord. Or in things like the necessity of the new birth. Or in such things like the true meaning of all to Jesus I surrender. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
How about Paul's admonition? I am crucified with Christ. I, Paul, am crucified with Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I now live, I live through the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I got to crucify myself. I got to get rid of Lou. Amen. And that's a process I'm still going through. Still a lot of Lou left. Yeah. I'm working on it. I'm 83 years old. I'm still working on it. I ain't got there yet, Christian. Do you understand this? I wonder if we do. I wonder if we really do. The church that calls itself a Christian church and yet kowtows to the politically correct emphasis so pervasive in society today. The church that is more concerned with entertaining than edifying, and in comfort instead of correction, and in size instead of sanctification, is certainly not training up the next generation in the way it should go. You see, it comes back, whether we like it or not, into the lap of the church. Amen? Who else is going to do it? Who else is going to do it? This Bible shows how easily the generations of human history have failed over and over and over to train up the next generation. The cost to this world's children is evident as we look back to the garden. The sin of his parents not believing God's word cost the human race's parents the life of their firstborn son. Just because they didn't believe God's word. Sin entered the world. Cain slew it. Amen? That's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. The first murder when Cain killed Abel foretold the trend of all human history. And if you don't believe me, get a history book and read it. The Tower of Babel, the Great Flood, the bondage in Egypt, the suffering under Babylon, under Persia, under Assyria, under Greece and Rome. As we're learning in our study in Daniel with Brother BJ. It's all there. The two great world wars and the current conflicts ravaging the Holy Land today. Generation after generation of children not being trained up in the way they should go. Jesus Christ died for human sin and rose upon the third day to build his church. A church whose responsibility is to train the lost children of this world the right way to go. Am I exceeding the church's responsibility here? You see here a truth exposed that cannot be denied. Way back in the 60s and 70s, there was a motto that kind of went through the churches, and it was this: let God. Let God. Of course, the message was to let God do it. Keep our hands off it, to let God do it. That didn't work very good. It was a good motto, but it didn't work. Let's put it up so we can all see. That's the way the world is. Let God. Posters everywhere, a lot of excitement. If we seem to be preaching against that premise, I want you to think with me. The motto, let God, means absolutely nothing unless we do something else. We come up with programs, we come up with mottos, we come up with studies on church growth. We come up with seminars on discipleship. We come up with special meetings on prayer. We have drives on tithing. Notice my early emphasis. We come up with them. We come up with them. I hope you're listening. I hope it's taking root. Something new. Preach something different, preacher. Amen? We want to hear something else. Something new, something different, something exciting. Beloved, the psalmist made it plain. Our generation is to praise the work of God to the next generation. Praise the word of God to the next generation. That happens to be Jesus Christ, who died for their sins. Amen? Our generation is to show by example the wonderful works of God. It's not us we are to talk about, but God we are to talk about. It's not our plans as we struggle with what we're going to do in the land, how we're going to do this, we're going to what we have. It's not our plans, it's God's plans. That's what's important. Not your plans and my plans, but His plans. Not our works, but His works. That's what we're to talk about. Amen? The hardest thing for any human being to do is to confess their inabilities and their need for help. I have trouble with that. Maybe I stand alone. Maybe this is just me, this message. Well, I got to preach it because that's what God gave me. I sincerely appreciate your patience. And I want to close this morning with this morning's devotion written by J. Sidlow Baxter. I'm going to read it to you. And as I do, I want you to think about what I said earlier. How difficult it is to say we can do nothing. But until we realize that, until we let go, we're never going to wake up. We're going to stick our oar in where it doesn't belong. You say, you mean don't work, don't make quilts? You're not listening to what I'm saying. You mean don't have Christmas vision on me? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to understand our job. Our job is to train up how they should go the next generation. All this other stuff may help us do that. But God said, go into all the world. God, His name was Jesus, wasn't it? He said, go into all the world and teach. I believe. Let me read you this English pastor this morning. It is no mere wishful thinking, but sober truth, that we Christian believers are the only people on earth who have found the secret of real joy and peace. There are many others who think, or for the time being feel, that they have found the secret in sects or faiths other than ours. But it is strictly New Testament Christianity that gives us joy and peace. Of any high aspiring religious sect or philosophy. Adhering to that ends with sad collapses, false refuges, and a deeper sorrows of human experience. What distressful eye-openings of this kind we ourselves have witnessed from time to time. But this does not happen to those of us who know and trust and love and possess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are born again of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We found a joy in sorrow, a secret balm for pain, a beautiful tomorrow of sunshine after rain. We found a branch of healing, not every bit of spring, a whispered promise stealing, or every broken string. There cannot really be joy and peace of that kind in any but a Christian heart. For until the sin problem has been dealt with, there cannot be a right relationship with God. And there is no solution to the invisible sinful reconciliation of God. Only in Him is there a new standing on justification before God and the new birth from above. Only in Him do we have covenant access to the holy throne and find ourselves accepted in the Beloved. Only in Him is there the joy which outmatches all sorrow and the peace which passes all understanding. Dear fellow believer, let us rejoice this day that we have found such joy and peace in simply believing. It is better to have this spiritual joy and peace in our hearts than all the material emollients and embellishments which could ever come our way. There are treasures which will outlive the grave and outlast the years and outshine the sunset. Yes, let us rejoice, and let it be with no such conceit as that of the old-time Pharisees who imagined themselves the object of an arbitrary divine favoritism. Let us rejoice in grateful humility that in purest grace God has opened our eyes. God has opened our eyes to see, and our minds to know, and our hearts to possess that which we never, never deserve to see, to know, and to possess. And let us this day be prayerfully concerned for those who as yet, millions of them, have never found this joy and peace in believing, especially those who are deceived by plausible heresies and specious cults. Lord, increase our own joy and peace in believing. Lord, make us earnest in our prayers for those who have still not been found. Father, let each of us this morning realize that until we let go, till we get out of the way, and let you carry out your will through us. The motto, let God, means nothing. This is what your son meant when he told his disciples, listen to this. This is what God meant, this is what Jesus meant, God's son meant, when he told his disciples that they would do even greater things than he had done. Think about that. Think about that. They, the members of his body, his church, will do even greater things than Jesus, than God in the flesh did. That's what he said. How is that possible? It's possible because there was only one Jesus And he was a human carpenter. And he probably traveled no more than 1,000 miles by foot. But now look at the church. If we take the responsibility the psalmist talks about, no matter what our age is, no matter what our number is, look at the church everywhere now. We're in what? Where? This little church is in India, in Mexico, in Romania, in North Korea, in, I don't know, some of the islands out there with the tribes. There's no church. He was just one person. Yes, he was. When he came to earth, God in the flesh. Just one person. He was just one person. Today he has many willing to let go and let God, as our psalmist tells us, to go, to bring praise and honor to him and to his works and to his mighty acts.